Welcome to another episode of Mic Checker. I haven't done this one in a long time, but I told people I was going to bring it back. Dope interviews, dope discussions with people on the edge of their industries. So this one is a special one, man, because I got my brother-in-law up in here, man. One of the underground kings of the cannabis business, because they people assume in the cannabis business, they be like Snoop, Wiz, you know, the cats with the moon rocks, Corrupt, you know, all the typical people. I'm trying to think who else is Be Real. Yeah, they think about what with the cannabis cup. Have you been in the cannabis cup?
You know what? I haven't yet actually been to the cannabis cup. I mean, we're going to check that out. We just did Hemp Fest not too long ago.
Yeah, I just want to go to Cannabis just to see who all, yeah. I just want to be like, yo, this is the, I'm at the cannabis cup. Is there a real like smoke offs at the cannabis camp?
Yes.
Is it like different events like the endurance, like speed, like a decathlon?
We did Hemp Fest, and at Hemp Fest they had Dope Cup. I'm sure most people are familiar with Dope Magazine and the Dope Hats, and people see that. So like Dope Cup does for each state that's recreationally legal, they do like Dope Cup Awards. So they may do an award for like best indica flower, or they may do an award for say like the best sativa concentrate, or the best edible, or okay, best, you know, CBD product for best topical lotion.
So, like that's like the woo-goo.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, and so they do have a group of judges who actually test that stuff out. You know what I mean? That's how they judge it. So they, I don't know how you get one of those lucky positions.
So how do they test it though? Like they like,
oh, they, I'm sure they give everybody samples of each and tell them to take a
So you don't get to take none before you go home and nothing like,
no, I'm like, sure,
yo, like, I'm gonna get, I gotta take some and bring it in, and then we smoke some at the back at the crib. I'll let you know how I feel.
Oh, they probably do. I mean, like I said, they probably give them a little sample packs and, you know, unbranded, unnamed.
This whole industry is crazy, like, you know, to me, though, man. This is like the final frontier. But Justin Jefferson, my brother-in-law, he is here. What is the name of your cannabis company again?
Oh, I work for Buddy Boy Farms up in Washington State, and we've got a couple different brands, our LCG, our Buddy Boy, and then our Top Shelf, which is our 420 Gold line. And we're basically just flower, you know what I'm saying? So we basically just do the weed that people are used to seeing, the green stuff that used to come in Ziploc baggies, but now comes in glass jars with artwork and, you know, all the kind of cool stuff on it.
So so my first question is, has liquor become, I mean, not liquor, weed become like liquor now, where it's going to be like,
yeah, I mean, if you're in a
15 different brands and,
oh man, Jesus Christ. So in Washington, there's like 1,500 farms. So,
There's 1,500 growing farms.
Yes.
What is considered a growing farm? Like, how much land do you have to be using to be considered a growing farm?
So they
farm?
Do it, like, by canopy space. So we in Washington, again, every state that has done recreational, because it's not federally legal, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But for Washington, we have, like, three tiers. So you have a tier one producer, tier two, tier three. And those tiers represent how much canopy space or how much grow space you can have. So tier three, like us, we can have like 30,000 square feet of canopy. So that's a lot of plants you could put in there. A tier two is, I want to say, 7 or 5. And then like a tier one is 2,500 or something like that. So it just depends.
So if I put one in a one room, like I had a room, is that considered a farm?
Not in my state. Okay. It would have been back in the day. But
right, right.
We scaled up. I mean, so our farm can harvest like 200 pounds essentially a week if we really wanted to harvest all 12 of our greenhouses.
200 a week?
Yeah, if we wanted to. We can push that much weight out there. I mean, again, that's the biggest, had been the biggest challenge. Washington and Colorado were the first two states.
Yeah.
We went like 4 years ago. So the biggest challenge was scaling up and figuring out how to do it to where you could keep the bud at a good quality and actually do it where you're basically mass producing it. So the other thing is Washington out in the Pacific Northwest is very, I mean, hippie is a bad word, but people are very conscious of what's going on in their body. So it's also,
it's the
market kind of demands that you basically grow really clean product too. So that's one of the other good things about recreational states. I mean, back in the day,
you just getting whatever you get. You can get what
you could have been spraying DDT on there and everything else on there. For all we know, we had no clue. You know what I'm saying?
What's being sprayed? You're just happy to get some because it was just there. It was just whatever you can get your hands on.
Pesticide list. You got a list what you spray, and again, the marketplace kind of dictates that you grow as clean a product as you can, or people just basically won't support your product. So
with So, because you moved out there right when it changed happened, right?
Yeah, about a year and a half after.
After, actually. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you weren't there for the initial jump off?
Not the very first one, no, sir. I got in about a year and a half later, which was cool. But again, I got in as soon as I could move in the industry. And essentially my idea was to jump into an industry, you basically got to have capital or experience. And so I was going to go ahead.
You're going
to
trade capital or you're trading experience?
Yeah. So get some experience, get in as close to the ground floor as possible again, because I wasn't in state when it first jumped off. But again, at this point, I'm 2.5, 2 years in. So definitely have some experience when it comes to some of these newer states that are just jumping off. I think I should be positioning myself to be able to do some things.
Yeah, no, because it's, yeah. Saying it's going to be decriminalized is a, that's an understatement.
Because, again, you're dealing with a product that ultimately, it just doesn't do to your body with things as simple as like alcohol does. And you can't overdose on marijuana. You know what I mean?
You were telling me offline, though, how you're saying basically like liquor stores are shutting down in Washington.
Yeah, the liquor industry has taken notice. Like I said, so, that it's easy to say.
And it's interesting. You're talking about Nevada. Did Nevada see what happened to Washington with their liquor and was like, because Nevada, you were telling me basically was like, hold on, we need to at least get a piece.
Well, a little funny known story about Nevada, who's now legally recreational. A lot of people know that Vegas is now open for business when it comes to cannabis. But the liquor commission there basically stepped in and said, hey, we won't fight this if you give us distribution rights. And the reason why they would do that is because they saw that liquor took a hit in the other states where cannabis became legal.
So it happened in Colorado, too?
Again, not because they were first, but Washington and Colorado being first, I think, became templates that the liquor companies looked at. You had Oregon and Alaska go the next year. And so, again, I think you saw at least similar contractions. It's not that liquor dies, but, again, there is a little bit of a contraction in liquor sales in state that go recreational legal.
Because
it just
like,
does.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm not going to buy a fifth. I'm just going to buy a little joint and a dub. Like,
I think you're going to do both, but I think if you remove the stigma, ultimately, the people choose cannabis over alcohol. If you remove the stigma, if you increase the availability,
I think people just want to combine it and people, just cut they in half though, because I want a little crown and a little smoke.
Trust me, everybody wants to still party, but I think I'll speak for a lot of my friends in Washington. We may smoke every day of the week. We drink on the weekends. So again, instead of having special to go find that little buzz every night, that might be your cap. Now you might be transitioning into drinking a cannabis infused lemonade instead. So
hold on. Drink.
Yeah, like cannabis I said, no liquor lemonade. Takes a hit. I'm telling you, liquor definitely takes
so,
a hit.
So cannabis infused lemonade.
Oh, listen, man. So again, the difference between a medical state and a recreational state is when it becomes recreational legal, corporations come in or people create corporations, and then what drives corporations? Profit. The way you keep your profit is to continue to innovate. Again, it's really no different from any other industry. So now that we're a recreational state, you can go to Washington, you can get cannabis-infused lemonades, cannabis-infused colas, cannabis-infused root beers, cannabis-infused water. You can get cannabis-infused cookies, brownies, the things that we're used to.
Yeah.
We got cannabis-infused cheeses. They're not Cheez-It branded, but they're, little snack
same
crackers.
Deal. Yeah.
Same deal, but we got cannabis-infused crackers, cannabis-infused lotions, cannabis-infused lubes.
So do you have to... Can Walmart carry a cannabis section where like all like your cannabis?
I guarantee you, when it goes federally legal, Walmart will
they
carry
have an
one.
Aisle.
Yeah,
they will
have
an aisle. Like
hell
all
yeah, they will.
Cannabis infused
absolutely.
Products.
They
like,
will. Yeah, absolutely.
Cannabis infused lotion. Cannabis
right now,
whatever.
Today, you can go into gas stations in multiple states, basically, that have medical. If a state is medical, you can go into gas stations, Petcos, and buy CBD-infused products for you or your pet now. So, again, it has to be made from hemp currently if it's not a recreationally legal state. So you have to get the CBD from hemp. But, there's already big corporations primed and ready to jump into this market, which is what makes, I think, where I'm at in Washington, states like Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Massachusetts, the states that right now are on that front edge, because it's still less than 10 recreational legal states, I think it's 7 or 8, it's definitely on the cutting edge, and it's a really unique time where I won't say the little guy is able to play, but the medium-sized guy, the person who had the capital to be able to throw down the money to get a license to put up a grow, but not the person who's going to have the Philip Morris money or the Anheuser-Busch money. And so those guys have been given a window. A small window. They can't come in yet.
Because they're a nationwide organization, so they can't play that game.
They can't risk it. So they've been given a very small window where they are able to come in and do what they do before the big guys come and crush them.
The big guys are going to come in and get
absolutely.
And then it'll become a smaller thing how you have craft breweries or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll like, definitely. And I mean, look, you think about craft breweries, Anheuser-Busch owns a ton of craft breweries right now. So, again, you know, again,
I mean, even the Anheuser-Busch's, when they sold it, you know, they started crafting.
Right, yeah, right, right, right. Exactly.
They started a whole nother one. Like, they take that money and say, we done. So we finna do this.
The big money finds its way to more big money, and that's going to happen eventually. And so, right now, it's a very exciting time where people like, you know, Cliff Robinson, who used to play for the Trailblazers, can do stuff in Oregon, where Whoopi Goldberg can come in with her line of topicals. But again, those are, you know, some of the few and far between, particularly minorities in the industry, because like I said, you can't get loans, you can't get credit, so you had to have the capital to get into the game. So I mean, unfortunately, it's a very white industry at this point, frankly. I mean, there's no other way for me to sugarcoat that it's a very white industry, and I don't even know if it's it's not, everything isn't racism, right? Some things are just, you have the ability to put money down and you don't, and so they did, and they had it. And so what I think our people have to do is jump into the industry if you can. If you're in a state where it's either legal now or becoming legal, you need to start looking at what you can do to get into the industry, even if it's just in a job capacity, because then that gives you a leg up, especially on a burgeoning industry. I mean, people will be looking for people with experience.
Like for a Coke, Pepsi, Frito-Lay, anywhere where you know distribution or anything and sales.
Distribution and sales is a job for you.
You can probably easily get a job. They're like, I work for
Well, listen, you heard me say that there's people making cannabis-infused lemonades and cannabis-infused cookies and all that kind of stuff. So there's a job out there for chefs in the cannabis industry. Okay, there's a job out there.
Le Culinaire.
Right.
You can
STEM,
go there.
The STEM. I mean, I've been talking to people about wanting to go and start talking to kids in schools about cannabis, which sounds really crazy, right? But we have... have every farm I know that does concentrates are what people call dabs, if you've ever heard dabs out there. So that's concentrated cannabis.
Some people may not know dabs. Yeah. So explain what a dab is.
A dab is basically cannabis oil. So it's concentrates, right? So it's just like anything else, you concentrate it up. Basically, it's way more complicated than what I could tell you, but essentially they're using chemistry to make, to pull the THC specifically out of the flower. And then you're able to get rid of all of the plant matter, the organic matter, all of that other stuff. So, I mean, as you look at a green piece of weed, you know, that green is filament for the plant. You know what I mean? It's plant matter and there's stem, all that's organic material. That's not getting you high, just the THC is. So we've got people in the industry, scientists basically, who come in and they've figured out methods, and there's multiple methods. Some of them use CO2, some use ethanol, which is alcohol, as a distillation method. There's multiple ways to do it, but you pull the THC from the plant, discard everything else, and then you're left with really pure THC.
So it's not what the Migos came up with, the dab.
Right, no, it's not the dance. It's not the dance. So like flour, you know, THC percentages may be like 28% for a really good flour. That's like your top shelf flour, maybe 28-30% THC.
So why would a pet need marijuana?
Well, a lot of pets, you know, again, so cannabis use is very good for people with nausea, for example. So if your pet has problems with throwing up a lot, cannabis may be one that helps them. If your pet is arthritic, that may be something that helps them. Again, there are tons of people who have moved their kids to a legal state just because their kids suffer from seizures. And the only thing that stops their seizures is cannabis. And so their cannabis, they're not giving their kids blunts. What they're doing is they're giving them tinctures. So a tincture is simply a dropper, and it just has a little bit of cannabis oil in it, and you drop it straight on the kid's tongue, and they go, you know, and they get their dose that way. Exactly. And because, like we were talking about the concentrates, they're able to get a very high dosage of specifically the THC or the CBD, whatever's making them better, and they're able to get just that, and they're able to, you know, take a lot of different medical stuff. But again, it's so much that comes with the industry, but it's an interesting industry. And like I said, when it comes to like STEM, I mean, there are people working for these farms making six figures to run these labs. I mean, legitimately, to run these labs. These are physicists, people with degrees in chemistry, stuff like that. Yeah. So they're coming out, and then they're jumping, instead of going to Pfizer, they're now coming into the cannabis industry, and they're helping to create new products and stuff like that.
So who is the biggest threat to the cannabis industry outside the federal government to come in and disrupt that situation of how it's – because it's basically a kind of a homegrown –
right.
Literally figuratively.
Well, like I said, legalization will definitely change the game, because you'll have a whole bunch of really big corporations who will definitely come in.
They probably just buy up a whole bunch of farms already. They probably
they're waiting.
Thing, right? They probably just be like, we're going to buy up the 10 biggest farms in Washington, like, we got to check for all y'all for $10 million each. Boom, we want it.
Right, so they're going to come in and they're going to buy out. They'll buy out the biggest ones with the most capacity and get cut them the biggest checks and going right on down the line until they feel satisfied. But then, Marlboro's, they've already got mock-ups of Marlboro cigarette boxes for cannabis cigarettes. You know what I mean? They've already got mock-ups. They're ready.
They already got mock-ups already?
Oh, yeah. You can go Google them right now. You know, they got Marlboro with a green box, Marlboro cannabis. I'm sure you could Google it. I've seen them before. And again, you look at states right now. Even let's take Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell is the Senate leader.
I'm looking at it right now.
Mitch McConnell.
Marlboro marijuana.
There you go. Yeah. You can find it easy. They ready. Yeah. Mitch McConnell, Republican, Trump enabler.
Yeah.
Is pushing to get hemp legalized in the state of Kentucky because tobacco's taking a beating. So tobacco's been taking a whacking for 10 years. Kentucky is big in tobacco, and their farmers are hurting. So the Republican leader.
North Carolina was good, but they flipped it. Like, we should be a tech area.
Exactly.
On the East
Coast. North Carolina, too. But they're the same thing. They're getting big.
They got hit because it's tobacco.
Right. So they're trying to save those farmers, and they're going to try to transition them out of tobacco and into hemp. And if they can ever get it federally legal, you can bet they'll jump into cannabis, too.
Exactly.
So I think the money talks. And so now you're seeing all kind of states. I mean, Arizona, which has been in the news for, Sheriff Joe and for,
with the pink suits and all that.
Right, and for, basically being able to stop illegal immigrants for any reason. So the very conservative state just barely almost barely voted down recreational legal. So I mean, by a couple of percentage. If they go again on the ballot, they're likely to go. So, again, you got bipartisan support for it.
I keep telling people the West Coast really is going to be a spread of it because when California went, it's just like a
from
Nevada,
Canada.
When we talk about that, Nevada was like, "Yo, we supposed to be sin in this state. We can't let it happen. We gonna move this up."
Everybody knows that Canada just went federally legal, like within the last month. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada,
because he's like, "We only got X amount of time before, Coca Cola or it's weed bucks."
That's what I'm saying.
Starbucks.
We got a store up there called Starbucks with the same logo and everything. What is
the biggest misconceptions outside of the random cats that from other states like this one that'll be like how they think how it is for
that weed is for young cats or for black
people. I'm talking about the industry of
I would say the biggest misconception is just the demographic of who consumes. That would be the first one. It's just it isn't even the industry misconception, it's the consumer. So most people think of weed as being something that your college kid does or your cat in the hood does or blah blah blah. But I mean, you spend any time in a Washington dispensary or a Colorado dispensary, you'll quickly see there is no demographic for weed. I mean, everybody smokes weed. Period. There's not an age demographic, it's male, female, it's old, young. I mean, so the first pot shop I went into, I pulled up excited to go in for the first time, and right next to me was probably an 80-year-old couple getting out to go in and get their CBD because that was what made them feel good, helped their arthritis. Right. So there is literally no demographic for marijuana. That's the best. I say that's the biggest thing is that especially on the West Coast where they've had medical for a while now, the stigma's not there. So it's just a lot more acceptable. You see a lot more people free to go into a cannabis thing.
Do you think information being so much more open and accessible is the reason that other states kind of can click onto it and be like,
Well, I think other states saw the tax dollars. Let's just be realistic.
They saw the paper. I'm talking about your regular voter being like, damn.
Absolutely.
Ain't no Armageddon in Colorado. Ain't no Armageddon in Washington because they legalized it. In fact,
Washington and Colorado have lower rates of opioid abuse, addiction, and deaths than other states do. That's just facts. You can look that up.
It's going to be hard because Missouri is the meth capital.
Well, that's why Missouri needs to get on board.
The meth dudes might be out there. I heard the cats in the hood, though, was putting out money on the low, though, against the weed.
And they might because they want to protect their black
business.
They want
to keep it legal. They want to keep the black market going.
I understand that. But again, I can't be worried about that. And ultimately, I think it's safer that it's regulated. I will use my farm, for example. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the weed, in the greenhouse is a clean greenhouse. You get what I mean? We don't. You got to get cleaned out before you can go from one greenhouse to the next, so we don't track pests in there. Once we harvest, you know, our harvest crew has to wear aprons, hairnets, beard nets, gloves. You get what I mean? Our pack team has to wear hairnets, beard nets, gloves, aprons. You get what I mean? So from the time that plant is grown to the time it gets packaged, sealed, Washington, unlike Colorado, is in the state where you can go in the store and get your weed weighed out. It's very much like Colorado, a liquor store.
That's one
of the differences.
So Colorado and Washington, why is that? So you can go in and just like, they just basically got a triple B.
Most of the states other than Washington came out with a very medical similar recreational model. So you go into a cannabis store and they've got weed in big jars and they weigh out whatever amount of weed you're going to get. And Colorado is starting to change that now.
It's like going to the fish market.
Right. It's very much old school.
2 pounds of fish.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like, they're like, oh, guess
you okay with you okay with this extra little half ounce?
Yeah, don't even trip off of it, man. Right?
So it's kind of like that there. And Colorado's changing now. I think that when I first got there, people in Washington were very upset with Washington's brand because Washington came out with a very commercialized project. They wanted everything to be sealed, right? They wanted it to be sealed in the store. And what that did was allowed Washington companies to brand themselves, to get into marketing and to get into packaging. And I think that's what Colorado saw. Colorado is now, California also is copying Washington's model because, again, I think they saw that it makes it look better when you walk into a Washington weed store and, again, the bud tender isn't touching the weed. He's not, you know, his hand ain't going in that jar.
But not even that, though. You can see, like, my brand, though. Like, oh, I know that logo.
You can see the brand.
Because I was like, my boy, though. Maybe I forgot, but I saw the logo.
Absolutely.
That's it.
From a company standpoint, you can market yourself. You can stand out. And from the state's perspective, it's a lot more safe. Because you're not going to get contaminants. You're not going to get somebody's hair falling in there as they're going to reach into the thing. They're not going to be handling money with the same hand as they're reaching in to grab your butt with. And also, like I said, it gives the company more incentive, again, to just continue to look more official. So if you go into a Washington dispensary for cannabis, it looks just like if you go into Total Wine for liquor or something like that. You get what I mean?
Okay.
You're not going to go into Total Wine and be like, well, let me taste this little bit of red wine. Why don't you pour me a 750 milliliter bottle so I can walk out of that?
Tastings? You can go to maybe certain ones. So, you can do a little wine tasting, or they have little shots of the brand new.
Well, right now, we're looking at ways to do that. So what we do for like my company is we kind of came with the same idea. We wanted to do like a Costco sample, but you can't give away weed, right? So what we do is what we'll do is if I go into a store that I'm in, I may come in and do like a vendor day.
Or you do buybacks?
Well, I'll sell them something for a promo price. With the deal that they have to pass that promo price on to the customer, and then they're able to get my stuff at a discount, which is about as close as we can get. It's as close as you can get to a sample in my state. Now, again, I don't know about other states. There may be other states that let you do
it. So there's no way to get around it where you can. So you all, could you all, as your farm, be like, hey, we want to do a tasting here, though. It's $50 to get in.
Nope.
You better hang out all night.
Not in my state. So, Oregon.
You know what I'm saying? Like, something that's kind of like, you can see our product, mm-hmm. and then, you know, maybe we can...
Right. Get you in. No, in our state, the farms can only sell to stores. The stores can only sell to the consumers. In Oregon, I know the dispensaries have the ability to grow some of the weed and also sell them, and it's a little bit different. But again, it's all because it's not standardized. It all depends on what state you're in.
So somebody got to come in. No, that's a
but I don't know any state that's letting you do free right now just because they got to stay. They got
to
make sure you buy it.
Go back to your government rooster with this.
Yeah.
When they go federal, because somebody's got to figure out how this is going to be federal across the board. The minister of marijuana.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be a minister of cannabis. Literally, like the Department of Defense. There's going to be a whole recreational drug.
Oh yeah, this is a
department.
This isn't going to be I won't even say going to be.
Thing though too though, like all the floors is everything like a weed, big old weed plant. Like none of the floors are connected. This is a big old weed plant. Three different floors, kind of like spread all out. And it's green.
It's going to definitely be very, very much standardized. See, people 50, 10 though, years from now, people won't even think about this.
50, though, I'm telling you, man, you gonna be able to take all that stuff you did in college.
That's the idea.
With the lobbyist shit and all that, and then you gonna be able to apply. I'm telling you, I already see it. You gonna be sitting there with a suit on or lobbying like, I'm just saying, no, man.
I'm gonna still leave the suit off, man. I'm gonna get the dress. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
No, man, wait till the end. Like, yo, you got a lobby in DC though for like 3 months.
But no, there'll be, like I said, right now, I was going to say there will be, but there is there's a ton of growth potential in this industry, and it's something that, again, I think minorities, we have to definitely embrace and get in here early.
The problem
because
is, like you said, but the problem minority is capital,
yes, but I think there's also, you know, minority communities in general, whether you're talking about African American, Hispanics, you know, even if you talk about Irish people, they tend to be more religious, right? Mm-hmm. More morally inclined.
We got more land than anybody.
And so we
got
to be able to definitely get past
hood,
that.
We knocked out a whole bunch of vacants.
Oh, yeah.
The cats make a farm right there.
No, for sure. But like I said, I think that
especially
a lot of the blacks with capital, though, again,
they got to push. They got to drop down.
They may be concerned about the appearance of getting into cannabis again, especially even out on the West Coast. And the West Coast is a different world. Like I said, again, weed is very much a part of the culture for decades. I know people all day. It's like, oh yeah, I've been helping my parents harvest since I was five. You know, they told me it was the pepper plants. You know what I'm saying? So like, this is very much just something that's open there. And if you're in a state like Missouri, where it's been all prohibition, there's a lot of stigma involved with it. I think you'll get people to kind of be hesitant to jump in, but that's what I'm kind of saying is I'm encouraging everybody to kind of get over that and to look past the quote unquote, you know, moral argument. This isn't your devil's lettuce. Let's be realistic. If you can go to the store and drink some alcohol and drink enough alcohol that it can literally kill you, you're all right smoking a little bit of weed, because you can't smoke enough weed to kill you. That's just not a thing. You're
not
gonna ever overdose on weed and die. That's not a thing.
That's
so
real.
Again, we got to be realistic here and get past some of the moral hiccups. And if we can get people that actually have the, because again, people like to act like we don't. We've got some people in the community that have the capital and the resources to be able to at least pool some money together. And I would definitely suggest people do. If you don't have the capital, again, if your state's getting ready to go legal, go get the first job you can, even if it's that you're trimming weed. So again, you know, you might start off trimming, but then you can work up to being a table lead, and you move over to being an operations manager or a plant manager.
Is that
their
how?
GMs.
So how did you get your start? Then let's go. Since you're saying that, how did you get your start?
Well, kids out there, I would always tell every kid to get your degree in something, even if you're not having a degree that you're using. Degrees help. So essentially, when I went to my farm, I had my degree. I had a background in doing certain things. So when I came in, I wasn't going to take a trimmer's job at minimum wage. So I basically started off in the sales department. But again, that's because I had a degree. I had at least some leverage. And so that's kind of what,
like, I got this experience already.
Right. And you sell yourself and you kind of do that.
Just
but
like any other
child. I know other people who started off at the bottom because they didn't have a degree. I mean, again, the most beautiful thing about the cannabis industry, if you ask me, is the fact that you've got a lot of people. Everybody, I won't say is thriving, but you're giving people who necessarily, like, just from a look, by the time you looked at them one time, would never get a second interview in another industry, they're getting an opportunity to have a job in this one. So you got people with piercings, tattoos, you know, the rocker girl, the goth girl, the quote unquote thug looking guy. I don't care what, you know, race you are, but anybody you think of is kind of looking at, and you know, in your society, you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And you see them as kind of an other, and you look at them
thing.
People and you know that, oh, You see him on the street, and you're like, that person ain't never get a job. Some of those people have been given the opportunity in the cannabis industry and are freaking thriving. Like, some of these people you would have looked at, and if they had walked into Wells Fargo to get a job, would have never, ever, not only would
they
never have got the job,
they
probably wouldn't have survived there either because of the corporate culture. They're thriving in an industry like that, and it's giving people the opportunity to do something that they love. A lot of people have literally turned their lives around with this. So, I mean, it's, again, something, like I said, that people need to look at as an opportunity. The moral stuff is gone. It's happening. You know, so you can either get on the bus or you can get left behind. And again, get in the industry however you want to do. If you've been selling weed and ducking the cops, you should definitely be trying to sell weed and be able to walk up to the cops, show them your manifest, and go right about your business.
Killer Mike said that the federal government should use that as a form of reparation for black people, given an X amount of dispensaries automatically to black people in every state that you go legal in. That can be your way to get saying reparations.
Well, good idea. I don't know if how much support you could really muster to get that. But what I will say is that, like, California, I will use them as an example. The city of Oakland specifically set aside. Yeah, well, Oakland set aside They did something where they were trying to set aside, I think, almost 50% of the licenses for minorities, right? Okay. And so on a local level, I think you can do that. And I think, so federally, I mean, listen, look at the world we live in, man. Right, I mean, it's really, come on, we ain't getting no reparations.
If you don't want us to get straight money up front, give us the opportunity to do this, and this is going to be.
I think he's right, but I would say instead of looking for the federal government to give that, I would say that's where, look at the example of Oakland, and locally, you can definitely, and as particularly if it's a black neighborhood, you got the power to do that. So if you're in St. Louis, you should definitely be demanding that. I would agree with that. Now, if you're in, Arnold, Missouri, then that's kind of hard to do. So again, I don't think that's a federal goal, but again, the idea I do agree with, in general, is that yes, it's a brand new industry. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Is going it is not going to. It has created millionaires in my state. 20, 30, 40, 50 of them, you know what I mean? Just in the last 2-3 years, millionaires created in the state from cannabis. So it's for sure a way to basically give back. But again, that's where I think people have to be politically inclined. We can't wait for the federal government to give us anything. You got to start locally. And like I said, I think Killer Mike's right. He's on the right path. Let me put it that way. I think he's definitely on the right path. That's something locally we should be fighting for, particularly in areas that have good minority populations. If it's a big Hispanic area, you guys should be looking for Hispanic representation in the cannabis community. And that's something that you can do, because Washington, I will tell you, the counties in the state are the ones who grant the licenses. So again, on a local level, you can have a lot of voice if you got people that are sitting on the city council, if you have people who are sitting as mayor. So you're right. But again, I think sometimes we misdirect who should be doing what. And I think that that's something that, again, locally, absolutely is feasible. That's doable. You just got to be able to have the political capital to do it.
Now, this is some couple more questions. We're talking about like the Philip Morris and all coming in. Could not those 20, 30 dispensary dudes say, we're going to come together, we're going to combine together as one network, and nobody's going to get it? And nobody, we're going to, because we're going to be the export now. Now we'll become a corporation, and we are the first one. So we become the North Carolina, we become the Kentucky, because we were the first, only ones that were growing tobacco.
Right, right.
Like, and it, back in those days, right. Same principle. And
I think that there may be some of that, but I think there's also a. Money talks, man.
You
ask like
for
I said,
too much solidarity.
Well,
you
ask for too much solidarity with money sitting out there. Especially when people get to cut in big checks, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Somebody
like,
tomorrow,
let's
I
just be realistic. Yeah. Oh, how much is your operation worth? $2 million? Well, I'm gonna cut you 20 to go home. I mean, so again, that's the kind of right. that they're not gonna be making discussion. Fair evaluations. They're gonna come in and blow people.
They're gonna blow their mind.
The same way they do.
They're looking for 50 years and now. Just
exactly.
Just
what's that when they come in and buy all the houses in the neighborhood?
Eminent domain.
They usually give you a little bit more than what your house is worth because they want you to go ahead and go with the program, right? So
Similar
situation. They're going to come in and they're going to pay people out. And I think that there will be people who – there are definitely people in this industry I know for a fact are in it for the long haul, right? And they want to stay. But there's other people in the industry who got in. I mean, I can't tell you how many farms in the state are owned by people who never smoke weed a day in their life because they're in it for the money, right? And so that person may not be as inclined to hold on if they get that big check because it hasn't been a lifelong dream. Some of these people, you know, this is their dream child. Like, you want me to sell my pot store? You tripping. Like, I ain't never. They gonna have to carry my body out of there in a hearse. Literally, I'm going to be working till the day I die. Cause this is my dream, right? And there's going to be other people who are out there for the money. And again, I can't blame anybody either way. But I would just keep saying I encourage everybody out there, if you're leaving in the state now where it's medically or recreationally legal, see how you can get in the game. Like, that's all I can say. If it's capital, get in with capital. That's the best way. That's the easiest way for sure, because money talks. But again, if it ain't nothing else, get in, get your foot in the door, get people in the industry to know you. I mean, as a sales rep, I can say, like, it took me 3 months to get somebody to buy weed for me because they didn't know my face. I wasn't from Washington. I hadn't been in the medical community for the last 10 years like the other sales reps had been, and so I had to get my face out there and get them to know me. And then they finally started knowing me. Oh, okay, man, I'll buy something from you. And now it's to the point where I'm out and about and people know who I am. You know what I mean? So, again, getting your foot and your face out there is also the way. I don't have the capital, and I can either cry about it and say, well, that's not fair that I wasn't born with the rich money. Like, I wasn't born with wealth. I can complain about that, or I could just, you know, play the hand I'm dealt, which is let me get in where I fit in. And now I'm two and a half years into selling weed. You know, I've probably sold more weed than most people who are like kingpins, you know what I'm saying? Like, and
you
this
think
is
so,
nothing.
You think you sell more weed than cats has like been pushing real weight?
Hey, man, I might have to delete this whole last 10 seconds off the podcast.
Because of federal government.
Right. But, you know, we do what we're doing out there. And again, I would just say we have scaled up very big.
We did talk about also the dark side of it, where like a lot of people, a whole bunch of people opened up and the people couldn't keep up with the industry. And that's with any industry, you're going to always have people that's going to fall off.
Yeah.
But I think people think, like, yo, if I get the money, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to pop.
No, I mean, there's a lot of people that's taking L's in the industry, too. I mean, that's just part of the life. You living in the Wild Wild West, essentially. It's a brand new industry, and it's going to be some risk for great rewards, for sure. But again, like, brand new industries just don't come out. Like, that just doesn't happen. So the last brand new industry was, like, e-commerce. You get what I'm saying? Like, that took a technological advancement to create an industry that came above. Before that, you're talking about, like, prohibition. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, again, brand new industries, that just don't happen. This is a once-in-a-generation, if not multiple-generation thing to happen. So you just got to take advantage. It just is what it is. And people who don't will get left behind. And like I said, you should absolutely be telling your kid to go make sure he's paying attention to chemistry class, because he might be able to go get a job in cannabis. If you got a teenager who likes smoking weed and you can't get him to go to school, you might want to sit there and actually go look up some of these jobs happening in Washington. Right here, and maybe that can motivate your kid. And again, this is like we got to get out of this moral thing, right?
You get your grades up, you can go to the University of Washington for college.
You can make weed your livelihood and literally be making six figures the moment you graduate. Like, and that's real life.
How high?
Like, yeah. That's quaint.
The realest thing going on right now.
How high is quaint?
For doing that actually became a
realistic. Exactly. Yeah. So there are people out there that, like I said, you know, are going to get in this one way or another. And again, it's opportunity that just doesn't happen, and we can look behind. But like I said, I don't know any parent out there that wouldn't want their kid to be like all of a sudden excited about chemistry, right? Or excited to go get a degree in physics or biology or entomology.
The original road trip. Where he was like, he had all kind of, he's like, no, you ain't going to get caught. I got weed that won't get you caught on the drug test. What?
Hey, man. You know what I'm saying? So there's room out there for innovation. I mean, again, your bakers, your chefs. I mean, there's just so many jobs out there for people. People, if you're an artist, I mean, again, like I said, Washington, we're a branded state. So again, every cannabis brand has its own label. Every strain, like strains, get labeled. So if you're a graphic design artist, it's artists out there making money in cannabis right now.
You're doing the label. So with sponsorships, so like, if I mean, obviously, we know all these different celebrities, Snoop, Wiz. I saw Corrupt had this thing called
Moon Rocks. Oh, yeah, celebrities are in there. Yeah, yeah. The Game's got this thing called G-Sticks. And yeah, I mean, everybody in there.
Why y'all ain't got Sir Mix-a-Lot, man?
You know.
Why y'all ain't got Sir Mix-a-Lot?
I'm looking for the Baby Got Back.
That's what I'm saying. Sir Mix-a-Lot sitting there waiting for y'all. Yeah. Man, why don't y'all holler at Sir Mix-a-Lot, man?
I should.
My posse's on. I call my posse's on Broadway.
No, man.
Can you put somebody's face on the?
Yeah, I mean, again, if so they really license your art, on the package. Yeah, absolutely. Willie Nelson is Willie Nelson. Willie's Reserve.
Of course he
Let me just say that Willie's Reserve is probably the most high profile celebrity.
So is that the highest cannabis brand
in my state? Like I said, I don't know.
So is Willie, because you also said though you can't run this in different states. You have to have a Willie Nelson of Colorado.
Yeah.
Willie Nelson of,
they got
to
have different LLCs. Yeah, so they're gonna have to have different corporations in each state. But Willie Nelson is in California. He's in Oregon and he's here, and he's got different corporations and all of them. They're called Willie's Reserve. Willie Nelson doesn't actually grow a single plant in the state of Washington.
Might just bought the
he contracts with local growers, tier ones, tier twos, the smaller growers, and he has like each grower grow him one strain, right? And that becomes his batch, and he sells that across the state. So Willie Nelson, his picture's on it, his name is on it, it's all out there. There's nothing stopping celebrity endorsements whatsoever. Like I said, the Game has G-Sticks, Snoop has he's endorsed.
He's got the vape pen.
He's got hardware. That's what I was going to say. Snoop's got hardware.
Wiz has got the OG Wiz or something like that.
Who is it? Corrupt or Dash?
Corrupt's got Moon Rocks.
He's also, it's a DPG Buzz, which is one of them. I don't know if it's Corrupt or Dazz. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they got DPG Buzz and they got Flowers. So, I mean, again, they're celebrity endorsers. And again, what they're doing is they're licensing their name out a lot of the times. Like Willie, I think he might own the company, but I mean, a lot of these other people.
I can see Willie owning the company, though.
And a lot of these other people are kind of licensing their name out. But again, like I said, that's where, it's so much opportunity out here, for sure. Like I said, and again, this is where we got to get, hey, St. Louis, people, holler at me. You know what I mean?
Hey, Nelly, man.
Ching-a-ling Nelly, y'all need some cannabis. You know, that's what we got to do. But like I said, everybody's getting in, and the people who are getting in now are going to reap the rewards. And again, if your state's coming on board, definitely feel like, figure out what you can do to get in. Look at, pay attention to anything coming on the ballot. Pay attention to the planning meetings and all that kind of stuff. That stuff has to be put out there. So you're responsible to educate yourself and to stay on top of it. And yeah, go out, get out in this industry, man. Take advantage. It's going to be people to make a lot of wealth in this industry one way or another. And the more diverse the industry is, I think the better it'll be in the end anyway. So
my last question, man, what is the future of cannabis?
Oh, the future is that, like I said, it's going to be everywhere, just like anything else, man. So, if like in Missouri, not everywhere, I don't know what state everybody's listening from, but in Missouri, you can walk in the gas station right now and get a fifth of Jack Daniels. You can get cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And when it goes fairly legal, I'm sure that they'll probably have cannabis Marlboro cigarettes like you saw earlier on the shelf, too. I mean, so it will get to the point where this is literally not a conversation that people will remember, that this was like a taboo thing back in the day at one point.
It'll be like, yo, that was crazy.
That was crazy. That why would they ever do that? That's so stupid. And nobody would ever remember the fact that weed wasn't just an everyday part of life. And again, I think that, in fact, there's going to be a lot of positive social change happen. Again, like I said, from opioid addiction reduction to, you know, actually being able to provide kids access to medicine that can save their lives. Parents shouldn't have to pick up and move from St. Louis, Missouri, and move to Denver, Colorado, just to get their kid a medicine that works for them, particularly if it's a medicine that they could literally grow on their own. Like, if they move to Colorado, they don't even got to go buy it. They can go get a card that says, my kid needs this for medical reasons, and they can grow X amount of plants and have that medicine on their own to do that. Now, that's, again, where we're going to have to be, as a community, very vigilant and very vocal, because, you know, big pharmaceutical companies aren't going to be very happy about the fact that this is something that you ain't got to get from them. You know what I mean? If you need your asthma medicine, you can't grow that. If you need your, you know, whatever medicine you're taking, you got to go to that pharmaceutical rep to get that. I mean, by way of a store, obviously, yeah. But you got to go to that pharmaceutical company. Cannabis is something that, again, you can grow your own. You could essentially be self-sufficient, and there's a lot of people who need that. I got a lot of friends who never smoked weed in their life, but they're rubbing the cannabis lotions on their knees, their elbows, their backs, and it's working for them. Like, I mean, so again, they're not taking the oxycodones no more, and the ibuprofens and the Tylenols. They're not killing their liver anymore. Dang, they're just putting on some topical lotion, and they're good.
In the hood no more? Xanax ain't gonna be popping?
I mean, I hope not.
I think it's not. The
cats I hope scared. Not.
Because if you already is on Xanax, you's already smoking right. weed already.
I need everybody to no more Molly Percocets. Molly Percocets. Nah, future, we need to get on that weed, dog. I can't rock with you,
man. If you on Xanax, you just on Xanax. Like, nothing you gonna be to do about that.
Well, like I said, well, man, you know what? You'll be surprised. Like I said, the concentrates. I mean, there are people out there that don't smoke weed at all. Like, I smoke bud. Like, I'm used to smoking blunts and shit. Yeah. There are people out there that only dab. That's all they do is concentrate, because they're looking for something that's a little bit more stronger, and that maybe because they used to be on Xanax for the last 3 years. You know what I mean? But
that's the way they gonna wean off,
right?
Of it.
But a lot of people, I think, again, once given the option, and let's just. So when you're buying weed in a non-legal state, you're going to your homeboy house or to back of the parking lot, and you're getting whatever he has in his car. I mean, you walk into a weed store now in Washington, Colorado, and there's 200 strains out there, right? And not only is it 200 strains, these 200 strains have been, like, tested for not just their THC quality, but for what terpenes in them. And the terpenes are what gives you essentially a lot of the effects, right? So it's not just the THC. So if it's certain terpenes in the weed, it gives you an uplifting, more like a woke high. And if it's other terpenes in the weed, it gives you more of a downer, sleepy high, right? So now,
and I heard that you can get you in the middle, like,
right? There's hybrids, but the point is, we can test for that, and we can literally go in and say, what are you looking for? Do you want a weed that's going to help you sleep? We can get you, you know, UW Purple. And if we want something that's going to keep you awake, we can prescribe you Sour Diesel. And if you've got something that you need for appetite, you know, we might prescribe you, you know, Critical Plus. And so again, you can get very specific qualities and characteristics out of the medicine, if you will, once it becomes something that's not in the bag and in the background and in the light. When you can send it off into testing facilities and literally get basically a DNA profile of what weed you got, and it can tell you all of what it should do. And again, it's a little variation for everybody. What gets somebody up may make somebody else feel down, just because body types are different. But on the whole, we can be really specific, you know what I mean? So again, I think that we're just moving into a world where people got to get past thinking of weed as being this shady business deal and something that you got to sneak and smoke in your mom's basement, and something that really we should be pushing to be more out there as a replacement for alcohol, all the pharmaceuticals out there. And again, we're going to get pushed back from the alcohol companies and the pharmaceutical companies. But again, that's something we got to be prepared for at the local level, at the community level. And ultimately, I think even those corporations, once they realize, hey, well, if we can't beat them, we'll just join them. You know, they'll get into it that way too. So,
one more before you even
wrap. No, let's
your
do
mom,
it.
Your mom's though, man. How did you get this past your mom's though? With you in this industry now, like that's.
It really wasn't that hard. I mean, to be completely honest, like I said, it was more like, what am I going to tell my friends? You do. I'm in sales. That's all you got to say. I mean, like, so that, I mean, that was her real question. Like, what am I going to tell my friends? But I mean, honestly, she had one. She had one, I think, opinion of weed. And honestly, I smoked weed most of my life. It was the one thing I did. I wasn't in much trouble. So for the most part, my mom was cool with it, right? Yeah. Like, as long as I wasn't out in public,
doing nothing,
you know, she wasn't going to brag to her friends. My son's a pothead. But again, as long as my grades were straight, I ain't never get locked up. You know, if the worst thing I was doing was smoke a little weed, okay, right? So then when I actually brought her out to Washington for a visit and brought her on a tour of our farm, and she got to see how, you know, we've got 12 greenhouses, 36 by 120 foot. You know, they're permanent structure greenhouses, concrete floors, lights, heaters, dehumidifiers. The roofs on the greenhouse open and close automatically depending on how much sunlight's out. You get what I mean? So this is very high tech stuff, right? You know, we're talking about, and my farm ain't even super on the cutting edge. We're a smaller operation.
Wow.
I've visited farms that are literally like, you know, I won't say automated, but I mean, these are clean facilities. And they've got, you know, they're completely indoor. And they've got, you know, 15 different types
it's
of
like
light.
I mean, just Express. Like, yeah, they had like amazing. The big old thing. You know, where, like,
I walked through an all steel, you know what I mean? And again, it's a difference. So, I mean, there's electricians making business. You know, there's lighting companies that are now, you know, they're trying to figure out how to make the perfect spectrums to help the plants grow. The fertilizer sales reps, the people who are making the packaging, the people who are, again, I mean, there's so many ancillary businesses
that are benefiting
downstream from this industry. That again, there's just tons of people. We have traceability software, so that's like the software that the farm uses to track all the plants in the house, and it's the software that the stores use to track their inventory. Somebody got to come up with that. So there's tech people making money coming up with these traceability. The state of Washington actually contracts out, and they did an open bidding between multiple companies that for the traceability system that would be the entire state soon. So now that you can win that contract. So again, it's just like if you're in a Department of Defense and you're bidding for a contract. So again, the downstream networks of money, and we haven't even gotten to the point where you get to the point where it finally gets legal enough where you can open up like actual venues. So like right now in Washington, it's legal to buy it, but you can basically smoke it at your house legally.
So there's no like a hookah spot that
like that's
so you
illegal
ain't even got too. But that's when you get into a whole. That's a whole another level.
Whole another ball game. That's a whole another thing that's gonna come down the road. Yeah, it's not here yet. Colorado, the city of Denver actually passed the ordinance to allow them, and then the state of Colorado voted it down. So like the state overruled the city. So even in Colorado, you can't do it. But
they were close though.
There's a few people out there. Definitely won't name no names. I know of a couple of private cannabis clubs, but I think they're playing around the edges of the rules.
I'm saying that it's private. That
Spot. Exactly. But at some point, there's going to be a place where you can go into a cigar bar, and it's going to be a weed bar, right?
Weed bar.
And at some point, that's going to be the next big thing, and that's going to be some more ancillary. So again, there's just so much potential and growth. And again, I'll just keep saying it again, don't get left behind. So whatever your niche is, if you're a chef, figure out a way to start flipping that. If you're into chemistry, figure out a way to start getting into the industry. If you're in sales, get into the industry. We've got people in the industry that their job is to go out and inspect the greenhouse for bugs. I mean, our farm, we don't spray pesticides. So what we do is we have a young lady who happens to be my wife who goes out and she checks the plants for bugs. And then if she sees like a two-spotted spider mite, which eats the plant buds, right, which is bad for us. It's eating our product.
Yeah.
So she then goes and she researches and she finds a carnivorous mite that eats the two-spotted spider mite, but it doesn't eat plants, right?
He's getting his love on it.
A pure carnivore.
Yeah.
So then it comes in and eats the herbivore pest, and then when it's no more of those, it dies, right?
Because it ain't nothing left.
Right. So we've got people who, you know, again, if you're in botany, there's a job for you as a head grower. If you're into entomology and you can talk about, well, we can bring in ladybugs and they can help you out. If you can come in and prescribe programs like that, there's places for you. There's companies selling bugs now. That we order bugs from a company just up bugs. In Canada. Yeah, we order bugs and cryogenic containers and stuff like that for the. So again, there's just so much out there that people would never think of. You know, Cintas comes to do our uniforms and picks them up. You know,
oh, dang, so that's now another business
for them. Yeah, FedEx delivers to me like three times a week.
Yeah, that's another industry.
Yeah, it's a ton of industries out there. So. For sure, at some point, and that would be awesome. That's a good place to go. But like I said, it's just so many places to get in where you fit in, and I think that, like I said, if you can do it, if you're in the industry on the ground floors, that obviously gives you a leg up later. So like I said, when it comes down to being federally legal, let's say 5 years from now, I'm gonna be able to go into Marlboro and be like, well, you know, I got 8 years
already
in the cannabis industry.
You need me a regional
right
all,
now.
All your regular cats that know what the fuck they doing. Let's like do we got them Let's all right out. Here to do this.
So again, that's the kind of thing, you know, we got growers who've been growing in the state now, and they're not growing the little bit of weed in their closet like they were when they were selling their own, but now they're able to say, listen, I grow in 30,000 square feet of cannabis space. I grew 25,000 plants a month, you know, or whatever in that time frame. So now you're able to, you know, harvest and, you know, talk about things from a different perspective. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Where can people hit you up, man, or online?
JJ Rostar, JJRAHSTAR on Instagram. You can find our farm, Buddy Boy Farms, on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. But yeah, reach out. I'm on Facebook too. I won't give you that one, but I'll let y'all hit me on IG. JJ Rostar or Rostar JJ. I got both, honestly. So y'all can find me. Link to my brother over here in the podcast. I'm sure he'll put me up there.
Yeah.
I love to take questions. There, if you got a question about how I can send you something that's wrong, dog, I ain't going to be able to do it. Like I said, I've been a legal, legitimate business now. I'm a businessman.
Yeah, because people think that. People think they're like,
yeah, you'd be surprised how many instant messages I get about, like, yo, I got to holler at you about this. Nah, especially after you wrote me on Instagram.
People think you just could ship.
I don't know what they be thinking, man. But like I said, once you're in a legitimate business, I'm legal, man. This is good.
But do people think that you just
do. Like you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. They be thinking I got.
Like, man, I'm going to flip this back. Yeah, the crypto.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually it's real.
Shoot me something out the back, though. No, right. Don't worry like that. So if that's your question, I can't help you, man. Like I said, I can't help you. But if you got a question about the industry getting in legitimate, all day long, shoot them to me.
All right. Thank y'all for listening. As always, if you have any questions, hit us up. Email us straightolc@gmail.com. Peace.